Good evening. I want to welcome everyone to our Sunday night worship service at our new time, 5 o'clock. Excited to be here this evening. Hope morning and honoring our graduates, and we did our very best to challenge the graduates, but not only the graduates, but to all of us, and with some simple words, some words of advice to those who have achieved. But anyway, tonight, brand new service, and we're looking forward to it. Our choir director, Brother Allen, he had actually a wedding to officiate tonight, this afternoon rather, and so we went ahead and told him just don't leave the altar, stay right there and perform that ceremony, and we'll take care of things here. And when I say take care of things here, I mean have Brother Don Rich lead one in just a few moments. And so he's gonna come around and lead us in the congregational, and then I believe Miss Lily has one she's gonna sing, and then we're gonna bring the word that we feel the Lord has laid on our hearts for tonight, and just two simple words tonight, and that is let us. It's used many times in the Bible, but in Hebrews it's used various amounts of times, and of course Caleb had that positive testimony, Caleb and Joshua, where he said, let us go. And so we'll mention some things about that in just a few moments. I did want to remind the church that after the service over at Stonebridge Church at 8 o'clock, there's going to be the memorial service of Brother Chris Fall. Of course, this is the Hodges' son-in-law. This is Amy's husband. And I put the directions on our church Facebook page. And mentioned them this morning. I have them tonight if you need those. And if you're able to come and support the family during this time, that'll be great. I'll give those to you. I plan on being there. And, of course, to represent the church. But you come if you're able to come. Also wanted to say that next week, the diplomats will be here next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And choir practice at 9:30. We'll 9:30 have choir practice, and so then we'll start service that morning and then give it over to the diplomats. And we will be taking up a love offering to help things for that service. And so I wanted to mention ahead of time, if you have the means and a little bit of extra you like to give for that meeting, that'll be much appreciated. And then again on the 30th will be our Sunday school kickoff at 10 a.m., and the following week will be our Wednesday night service in-person kickoff. All right. Just remember everyone on the prayer list, especially Brother Leonard Palmer, Harold Dolph, Charlie Wilson, and again, Brother Don, Sister Carla Rich, they're with us tonight. But they came from afar from this morning, I hear, and down from South Georgia, and where they visited one of their supporting churches and preached. So good to have them. Well, let's pray, and after we pray, Brother Don's going to lead us in a song, and Lily's going to come, and we'll bring the message. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. And Lord, for the things that you do. God, thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for our young people who have completed, Lord, the first phase of education of their life. I guess I could say it that way. Lord, be with them and give them direction, leadership, as they step into the second phase or the new phase of their life, college, and looking for employment as a career, Lord. Direct their steps. Be with their parents, Lord, during this time. This is a new phase for the parents as well. Maybe some empty nesters. And Father, that's a whole new situation. We just pray that you would be with moms and dads and grandparents during that time. Be with us tonight in a mighty way. Use the singing. Use the message. Father, I pray for your honor and glory. And be with the Fall family. But Lord, be with the Hodges tonight as they commemorate the life of Brother Chris. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Don?
I'll be up here with you.
All right. Turn me to page 390. Page 390. I love the old hymns. This one is, according to this, it was copyright of 1927. And I was looking at it and just looking at what we're singing here. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Would you over evil a victory win? But then when we get, that's for those here tonight that may not be saved, please don't leave this church without giving your heart to Christ tonight.
Amen.
But then number four says, would you do service for Jesus your King? Would you live daily his praises to sing? And I hope that everybody would say amen on that one and follow through. Number 390, we're going to sing all four verses. You ready?
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Stand up for me.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
All right, you may be seated. I'm glad that there is power in the blood of Jesus tonight. And power to set men free from the bondage of sin, take us home to heaven when we die, and allow us to live a victorious life while we're here. All right, you pray for Lily as she sings tonight. Praise the Lord tonight. The Lord sees what we don't. I don't know why that's so hard to learn, to just trust in Him. But that is the gospel truth tonight, is just trust in the Lord. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And the other old hymn has been saying faithfully down through the years, trust and obey. And tonight we're going to be in two places. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter number 13, verse number 30. And then we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, and I'll give you the verses here shortly on that. Numbers 13. Verse number 30. And then Hebrews. Of course, by way of introduction, I want to mention just a little bit about Caleb. And tonight I really have a long introduction and a little message. So sometimes it works out that way. But those who read the Bible and have studied Scripture know and are familiar with this story of the spies, the 12 spies in Numbers 13. We know that there were 12 spies elected. There was one spy. There were one person, one man, to out of each tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, to elect one person per tribe to be the head, to be the representative of each tribe. Numbers 13, verse number 1 and 2, he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And verse number 4 down through verse number 16 tells us those men. And we know that two of those men out of 12 was Caleb. And then the other man was Joshua. And we also know that there was a majority report that was brought back. And then there was a minority report brought back. If you notice in verse number, in verse number 26, or verse number 25, I'm sorry, notice what the Bible says. "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Verse 28, "Nevertheless," this is the beginning of the majority report, the negative report. He says in verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there," or the race of giants. There was giants in the land, they said. Verse 29, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Look in verse number 31. We're skipping over Caleb's remark, and we'll get back to him. But verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight, got to catch that, in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And so in this land, we have, number one, there were giants in this land. There were grapes in this land. And there were, at least in the sight of these spies, 10 out of 12, there were grasshoppers in this land. And we know that the majority report was evil, the Bible says. They went and they saw and they came back and they presented what they saw, and it was total negativity. We can't, we can't, we can't. But then in verse number 30 was the report of Caleb. And the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at chapter number 14, if you will. We know verse number 1 down through verse number 5, there was the effects of negativity. Some wished that they never left Egypt because of the words of the 10 out of the 12. There was great negativity. The effects of the negativity is seen. Verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And then in verse number 6, we have the words of Joshua and Caleb again. But verse number 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are, notice this, bread for us. And so these two of the minority report, the positive report, the motivating report, Caleb and Joshua is turning the perspective. He says, they are bread for us. And he says, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? I want to stop there. I want you to jump over to verse number 24. Now we see a word that God speaks on the behalf of Caleb. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then finally, verse number 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, speaking to the others, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. I'm going to stop there tonight in verse number 30. And so what we have here, we have 2 out of 12 that God approved of. We have two positive reports that these two men tried to project to the people of God to encourage them to proceed and to go into the land. And they tried to instill the fact that it doesn't matter the size of the enemy or the type of the enemy that you may be facing, we may be facing, Joshua, Caleb speaking, in the land, but he tried to shift their focus to the inside of themselves and let them see who they belong to, and to know that they have power enough within them to go into the land and win the battle. Again, there were 10 out of 12 that had a heavy negative influence, but 2 out of 12 had a positive influence. Tonight, I want to call our attention to verse number 30, where the Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" I want to preach for a few moments on these two words, or at least in this passage, 3 words, but in Hebrews, 2 words. He says, Caleb says, "Let us go. Let us go." And there's some places in Hebrews. I want to kind of read these two books together, mention some verses together, Numbers and Hebrews in harmony. I believe that in Hebrews we have the spirit of Caleb, or at least the spirit of Caleb can be seen in some of these verses in Hebrews. Now, tonight, I'm not saying that Caleb wrote Hebrews. I would not dare say that, because he didn't. But what I am simply saying is the spirit, this kind of spirit that God said Caleb had, he said, "But my servant Caleb," because he had another spirit within him. He had a spirit of excellence, Caleb did. He had a spirit of battle. He had a spirit of climb. He had this spirit where he knew that God wasn't done with him yet. Caleb wanted to get into the land. He wanted to overcome these giants. He knew that God's people could do it. And so therefore he said, "Let us." Again, our verse back in Numbers, verse number 30, chapter 13. He said, "Let us go. Let us not cower back. Let us not cower down. But let us go into the land which belongs to us. Let us possess that." Tonight, what I simply want to do is just capture that spirit of Caleb and try to encourage all of us, starting with me, to you, to those who may be watching on Facebook and listening audibly, to try to just encourage all of us not to retreat, but to lunge forward, to go after the things of God tonight, to lean in to Jesus for our source, to go to Him in prayer and know that we can find grace to help in time of need, that we can fully embrace the calling that God has on our life. We don't have to cow tail down. We don't have to be like the old dog and tuck our tail between our legs and run under the porch when the lightning happens and the thunder roars. We don't have to do that. But tonight, we're God's people. Those of us that are saved and those of us that have been born again by the blood of Christ, let us have that same spirit that Caleb had. Let us go after the things of God and not retreat. And listen, I know what time and day it is in which we're living in. We're living in the last days, but guess what? It's been the last day since Paul's day. And I know about the pandemic. And I know about all of the protests. And I know about the politics. And listen, I walked through that with you as well. Maybe a little bit harder for some than it is for others. But still, there is a spiritual life to pursue tonight. There is still God's perfect will for us to be in tonight. And tonight I say to all of us, let us go. Let us go in the power of the Lord and His energy. Let us obtain the things He wants us to obtain. And so tonight, as we look in Hebrews, I just want to mention some of the verses. There's a lot, but to rightfully give time allotted to these verses where the words, "let us," introduce the verse. It'll take us all night. But notice in Hebrews 4, chapter number 4, verse 16. Notice with me something here. Very familiar verse. He says in Hebrews 4, in verse number 16, the writer does, most think it's Paul, but he says in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Very familiar verse. I'm pretty sure that most of everybody in this room has at least looked at that verse, claimed that verse, have actually lived that verse this past year, 2020, now 2021, have been to that throne room. And possibly, I'm speaking to myself here, I know that my prayer life has multiplied since all of these things have happened. People passing away in this dangerous COVID-19 that has been out. But you know, when it comes to fear and it comes to moving forward in our Christian life, we have to draw the line when it comes to, what am I going to do? Am I going to retreat and be defeated, or am I going to lean in and obtain everything the Lord has for me? Am I going to fight? Am I going to lunge? Am I going to go onward for God? That's the key tonight. And the writer of Hebrews says, let us, the same kind of spirit that Caleb had, let us go and take the land. Tonight, the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly. That word boldly means with confidence. It means with bluntness, with plainness of speech. Tonight, if I'm struggling in my Christian life, if I'm struggling in my marriage, if I'm struggling, you know, on the job, at school, what have you, and I belong to the Lord, then I have an open invitation to come to His throne room, and He tells me to come boldly. He says, be honest about it. Go to the Lord and pour out your soul as Hannah did in the Old Testament. You remember Hannah when she was at the altar and she was wanting that son. And Eli, the priest, came up and thought she was drinking because there was no words coming out, but her mouth was moving. That's a picture of somebody in great heaviness who was just dumping out their soul and pouring out their soul. There's really no words to describe, or there's no words to put in how you feel. You're just moving your mouth, hoping it makes sense to God. And we know it does through the Spirit. And so there's Hannah who poured out her soul before God. And then we know Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that He went a little further after Peter, James, and John. They were sleeping. And He just basically said, "Sleep on, the Son of Man is in the hands of sinners." And He knew He was going to the cross. But in one little section there, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed. And He said, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but Thy will be done." A lot of people say that Jesus gained that great victory when He was on the cross. And I believe that there was victory on the cross. But I want to say that there was truly victory in the Garden of Gethsemane that day. Because that is when He was filling all of humanity upon Him. And he, listen, even before the foundations of the world, I know He was committed to the Father's plan and all that. But He felt the flesh. He felt the pain. And He knew what was coming. But in spite of everything that He felt and everything that was coming, He submitted to the Father's plan. You and I tonight, we may go through times of Gethsemane when the weight of this world, not in the same likelihood or similitude of it did Jesus, but we may go through things in this world where we feel the weight of this world upon our shoulders. And we feel like, and we know that there's responsibilities we got to take care of. There's demands and all the rest of it. And it may be heavy and it may feel crushing upon us. I'm glad tonight, in spite of all of that, we have a place that we can go to. We can go to the throne room of grace boldly. We can say, Father, I have tried and tried and tried. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need grace to be a dad, the kind of dad you want me to be. Lord, I need grace to be the parent you want me to be. Lord, I need grace to be the spouse and be the pastor and be the just a regular Christian believer you want me to be. Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Lord, today I say that I'm insufficient, but Lord, you are sufficient. And so our verse tonight tells us, let us. Not with weakness, he's saying, well, you know, you can always go to that throne of grace while flipping through the TV. You know that. No. He's saying, let us. We have an open invitation to the throne room of grace that we can go into boldly, tell God how we feel. And I'm here to report to you tonight that he will hear your prayer, child of God. He will hear your prayer. He will energize you with heavenly energies, and he will give you the right perspective. He, at one time in your life, before you went to that throne room of prayer, you were looking at the enemies, and you were looking at the battles, and you were looking at this. But now you're like Caleb. They're going to be bread for us. We are not like grasshoppers in their sight, but yet they are going to be bread for us. God has a way in this throne room of changing perspective. And I will say this tonight, if we do not have a regular prayer life, then defeat, if not already, is going to happen in your life and mine. If I do not have a regular prayer life, where I go to God in prayer, the good times, the bad times, and all the times in between, if I don't have that space in my life, I will fail, I will falter, I will cower down. I will see myself as a grasshopper in the eyes of the enemy. I will see that there is no way out. I will see that I am just a roach for a giant to step upon and crush. But when I go to this throne room of prayer, you see, as a believer that is already standing in grace, I have access to grace. I'm saved by grace. Therefore, my whole new name and my whole identity is wrapped up in the grace of God. Why not God give me grace? God will give you grace tonight. You've been to the cemetery lately. God will give you grace. Oh, there's been so many that's been to the cemetery. We're going tonight, not to the cemetery, but we're going to memorialize Brother Chris. And I heard some of his testimony that he was a believer and child of God. Of course, we're not going to mourn a funeral. We're going to celebrate his life is what we're doing tonight. But you know, all of that, anything we get accomplished in our life as believers, it all starts in this throne room of grace, a regular prayer life. And there is grace that saves, we know. This grace does sustain. Tonight I want to say, let us therefore come boldly, with confidence, plainly, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and here it is, and find grace to help in time of need. So tonight, reflecting back on Caleb and what he said, I say, in the spirit of Caleb, and in the writing of Hebrews, let us go to God in prayer. There's a second place. Notice, if you would, in Hebrews 6, in verse number 1. Hebrews 6, verse number 1. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. In order to fully understand verse number 1 of chapter 6, we notice the word therefore. And we have to ask ourselves, what is it there for? Why is therefore there? And it reflects back on chapter number 5. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12 of chapter 5. He says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." Can I say that I believe that in context of chapter 5, in context of chapter number 6, in the verses that I read to you, what he's saying is, he's saying we ought to have a steady progression of maturity in our life. He says back in verse number 12, 13, and 14, he says, you've been, for lack of better words, you've been saved for a while. He said, you ought to be a teacher by now. He said, you ought to have indoctrinated yourself with the words of God enough and the principles of God enough beyond the first principles to be a teacher. He says, but you can't do that because you're not ready for meat. You are still on the milk. And we all know tonight that the natural progression of a baby is, when it's a baby, to be on milk, but when it's a teenager, not to be on milk. If you go and visit a newborn, you know, you'll say, "Oh, look at that cute baby. Look, it's on a little bottle. He's drinking his milk. Look at there." It would be strange to go back 10 years later, 12, 13 years later, and look on the couch and there's a teenager sitting there drinking a bottle of milk. I dare say anybody would say, "Oh, look at that cute little baby. Look." Really, they'll be calling it for what it is. You see, that teenager ought to be at a place where they can chew up some red meat. That teenager ought to be at a place where, man, you're past chicken nuggets and french fries at McDonald's. You're asking mom and dad a piece of their steak. And see, that ought to be, not that, but the progression of a baby ought to be, you know, milk, then get on some of these foods that have little consistency with them, you know, not much, and then you go from, say, mashed potatoes, and then you graduate them a little bit to something a little bit harder, like some, you know, diced up, I don't know, apples, some peaches. And then you graduate them a little bit more to now, with their appropriate age. Of course, I was on solid food early in my upbringing. I was probably a toddler and eating a steak at that time. But anyway. And then they get a little further, and then finally, they're ready for that hamburger. They're ready for that hot dog. They're ready for that steak. And don't y'all tune me out getting hungry tonight. And they're ready for, man, they're ready not to just have a slice of that apple, but they're ready to grab the whole apple and bite on it with their own teeth and mouth. Natural progression here. And he says, so is the believer. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, not totally abandoning those first principles, but you already know about repentance, or at least you should. You already know about baptism, or at least you should. Now it's time to move on to the deeper things of God. Get yourself a little more consistency with the Scripture. Start chewing a little bit. That milk will only give you so much nutrition and so much nourishment. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, not abandoning them, of course, treasuring them up. They have their place. Repentance has its place. A faith towards God has its place. The doctrine of baptism has its place. All those things has their place. But it's time to grow in the Word. It's time to appropriate what you have read and what you're learning. Therefore, you may go from a babe to an older individual in Christ so that you can be that teacher. And not just one who's on the milk. It's on the spirit of Caleb tonight. I say in harmony with Hebrews, let us learn. Let us go on unto maturity spiritually. So there's so much more in that. I hope you catch where I'm going with it. Hebrews 6:1. We covered Hebrews 4:16, but then Hebrews 10:24. Notice this. This speaks about love. Hebrews 10:24. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He says, let us love one another. Let us operate out of love. Let us consider one another. Let us provoke, but not provoking one another to wrath, not provoking one another to evil, not provoking, you know, not teasing, not tempting, not provoking, not helping, not pushing, not leading astray, not provoking each other to evil, but to love. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Same kind of spirit. Not the spirit of retreat. Well, I just don't know what to do. I just can't love that person. I'm just not going to try. That's not the spirit that we have here tonight. The writer, catch this, he says, let us. He's involving himself in the text, which means he hasn't arrived yet. If it's Paul, Paul is still trying to apprehend that which he has been apprehended of Christ. He's still trying to operate out of love himself, if indeed that's the writer. Let us consider one another. And truly tonight, let us consider one another. Let us consider those who have been to the cemetery. Let us consider those who have lost their job because of the pandemic. Let us consider those who are not doing well in health and who have cancer. Let us move our focus off ourselves and on the life of others. Let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works. Let me mention another one. Hebrews 12:1, that's of course one of my favorites in Hebrews. Hebrews 12:1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In this one verse, I see two things briefly. And that is elimination and determination. He says, middle ways through, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So he's differentiating two things. On one hand, there's a weight. On the other hand, there is sin. Some kind of offense toward God. There's some kind of sin there. And then there's a weight. Two things. Now, we know that we ought to lay aside sin. We know that. And sin really can be broken down in in two different ways. Sin is an offense toward God, something that we do that offends Him. But also sin can be something that we don't do that offends Him. And so in that idea, He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, those open things we know that's wrong and not good for us. Let us lay it aside. Let us call it what God calls it, sin. Let us lay that thing aside. But then He says, wait. And of course, we know that weight here can mean something that is heavy, something that is weighing you down. A lot of the focus here goes back to those Gretchen games, those early games in that arena. And they would have those long tunics in most events. And He says that through this idea of let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race sets. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Is through that idea. Number one, they would train to be in that race health-wise. They would condition themselves. They would, you know, eat the right kind of things. They would be fit to be in a race. But also that long tunic, if it were not positioned the right way, if it were not assembled the right way, or maybe even not even wear a tunic, wear something else. I don't know all the ins and outs of what they wore. I wasn't born back then. But it is through the idea of that tunic in a race getting twisted and entangled with the legs. And so you're being tripped up. Where it says, which does so easily beset us. The words beset us means whales standing around. It means that tunic, when you're trying to run, you're trying to race back in those days, if you're not careful, that thing could be twisted and all tangled up in your legs, and you'll fall. You'll be disqualified. In like manner tonight, there are things in our life that are not good for us. We know sin's not good for us, but there are other things that maybe God tonight is putting a little light on. I know one thing that's not good for me is eating a whole cake every night, and I don't do that. I don't do that anymore. I never did to begin with, but I don't leave cakes laying around because I know eventually it's going to weigh me down more than one way. So I get rid of the cake. What is it in your life tonight that is becoming a sin? I mean, it's not written on the wall, and it's not, you can't necessarily find it spelled out in the pages of God's Word, but because of your experience with it, the principles of God's Word are starting to surface. Ask yourself, whatever keeps tripping you up, is it good for me? Yes or no? Does it further my walk with Jesus? Yes or no? Am I a better soul winner because of it? Yes or no? Does it help my marriage? Yes or no? Does it help me be a better parent? Yes or no? And that is one way that you can get a definite answer if you need to lay down some weights. Definitely sins. So He says tonight, He says, let us lay aside every weight. Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things in my life help me along in my Christian journey, is what he says in that verse. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. And when he said all things are lawful unto me, that doesn't mean that Paul is walking around saying, well, I have a grace card. I can sin. I can do anything I want to do because I'm saved by grace. You see that? No, that ain't what he's saying. He said, I'm just not up under the law. Jesus became my law when he died on the cross and he fulfilled the whole law. I'm not under the law. But he is saying, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Paul says, I am under grace, but because my sins are gone and I am under grace, that doesn't mean I can just do anything. What is it tonight? Those watching on Facebook, what is it tonight that you are trying to do and keep in your life that God doesn't want you to keep in your life? What is it tonight? Is it a TV show? Is it some kind of song or music that in the back of your mind, you know that God is saying, don't listen to that. It will not further your walk with me. And behind God is mom and dad saying, don't listen to that. You know it's not going to help you. And I want to say tonight that there are things in our life that will hurt and hinder. And on the first appearance of it, it may not seem like it's bad, but you've got experience with it, and it's bad. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's wells standing around us. The thing that trips us up most days of the week. Let us lay that thing aside and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So in this one verse we see elimination, but then we see determination. Run the race with patience. Keep going. Let me just add this to it. Verse number 2, there is inspiration. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You need inspiration tonight? Look at Christ. Look at Christ, because he was looking at you. Who for the joy that was set before him. We are the joy that was set before him. Not only us, but of course he went to fulfill his Father's plan. That was a joy to him. But we also, part of that plan, opening up this new and living way, that salvation be offered to all, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us look to him because he looked to us. Let me mention one more. Hebrews 12:1. But then look, same chapter, look in verse number 28. He says in verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I love verse 29. It's just one of those verses that's right on the surface burning. For our God is a consuming fire. Literally, he's talking about fire here. But talking about the nature of God. Verse number 28 deals with grace yet again. He tells us that we have a kingdom. We have an inheritance. We have heaven. This kingdom of God that is there to stay. And we one day, whether by the grave or by the rapture of the church, will be in that place, that kingdom. It's a kingdom which cannot be moved. Not like the kingdoms of this world. This worldly system can be broke down, and as we have experienced. And gas prices, it doesn't take much for things to spin off in a negative way. And on we go, bread, paper products, all those things. This kingdom here is going to be moved one day. It's moving now. It's shaking now. But one day it's going to be moved. And the Bible says it's going to be one big old ash heap. It's going to be burned with fire. But the kingdom of heaven for the child of God is not moved. It's there. And it's there to stay. And because of that, he says, let us have grace. Let us tap into what we have, because we have that kingdom. We have, those of us that are saved, we have heaven. We have access to heaven. We will be with Jesus one day in a perfect place. We will have a mansion to live in. But also we have grace. And since we have a kingdom that will not be moved away, and since we are still here, right now, let us serve God and not be worried about our kingdom. People down here, and listen, I'm human as anybody. those gas, the thing happened with the gas, it, you know, I didn't go fill up gas cans, you know, but it crossed my mind about making sure my gas was full, my gas tank, you know, and back at the earlier part of the pandemic with all the paper products and the food and things leaving the shelves, it has a way, if you're not careful, to cause a shaking. Well, that's this world's kingdom. I guarantee you one thing about heaven, there is no shortage of anything that's there that's to us. It's all there on the shelf, so to speak. It's not moving. And because of that, we're not wringing our hands down here because of this worldly kingdom, but we are safe and we are confident of our immovable kingdom up there. Therefore, let us have grace when we feel like we can't go on. Let us tap into that grace to serve God when we feel like that nobody understands and nobody cares, and yet there's souls that need to be saved out there. There's ministries that need to be started. There's a Christian life to be lived. Don't worry about our kingdom there. It's there. This kingdom's diminishing. One day it's going to be burned with fire, but we're going to be raptured out of here before then. And in the meantime, let us have grace. Let us operate out of grace so that we may serve God acceptably. So that when that day comes and they call my name and I walk toward the throne, I may hear, "Well done, and good and faithful servant." Listen, I'm sure there's going to be nursery workers in front of me. Thank God for those who work the nursery. There's going to be people whose job is to, you know, stock the food pantry faithfully. I feel like Paul, least of the least. But I want to be able to hear those words one day. I don't want to be down here wringing my hands in fear because of this movable kingdom we're living in. But I want to be settled and at peace because of the immovable kingdom and just serve God no matter what. Let me give you this little story. We had an opportunity to go. A few people did here, I think. We had the opportunity to go to Taylor and Aaron's church for their Easter play. And I don't know why, Brother Don, I just knew this was going to happen. We walked in. There was a seat in the house. Of course, we were masked up and everything. You know, we were trying to protect ourselves. And I was thinking within myself, the only seat available is right up there in the front. And, I mean, it's in the middle. It's on the front row. I said, "I guarantee you we're going to end up on that front row. I mean, only like a legs. You stick out your leg, that's where the play starts, like right there." And then Aaron says, "Hey, bro, Justin, here, let me ask my pastor over here." All of a sudden, I see a hand go, whoosh, just like that. I said, I didn't tell Christy. I told myself. I told myself, "Told you." I said, "Told you." That's weird, isn't it? We went down, we sat on the front row, and Charisse was with us. Of course, Lily, her friend Charisse, and we were sitting there, and the play started and everything. It was a great play, and they actually showed in their Easter play Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Man, that was pretty good. He was literally mummified from top to bottom. He came out just like this. It was really moving. But the very last little bit of that play, they had angels lined up on the walls, funneling down to the throne room, to the throne of grace. And Jesus was on the throne. And they had microphones. Of course, they were all singing. They had big wings. And they started to call people's names. I was like, "Oh, my goodness." I'm an emotional person anyway. And I really tried to keep my emotions in their place because I can just go berserk sometimes. I don't want to do that. I said, "Oh, my goodness." I leaned into Christy. I said, "I know nobody knows us here." I said, "But if they call my name, based upon how I feel right now," I said, "I am going to squall like a baby, shout. I want to roll over and do a front flip, and I'm just going to cry at the feet of Jesus. I know that's not Jesus, but that's how I feel right now." And they didn't call my name, but they were calling Peter, James, you know, just calling all those familiar apostles. But then they said, "Fred." I said, "Hold on just a minute. I know there's no Fred in the Bible." If there is, I'd like to know where. And there was this older man, he came out of the crowd like this, and man, he was running, had a suit on, had his hands up. I said, I know how Fred feels. And I was just waiting. I don't know, for some reason, I just thought that he was going to call my name. That's a sad feeling, being left behind, but that's why you need to make sure your name is written. But I was just thinking, in that moment, in that play, on the front row, I mean, I was lined up. All I had to do was get up and just, whew. I was thinking, if I feel like that now in this play, I couldn't imagine feeling like that in actual glory. Amen. Justin Hales, come forward. Yeah, right, Justin, you can't hide behind that coat. You know, just bashful. I don't know. I don't know how I'll be. I just want to know that I've given it my all while I was here, so that I might hear an acceptable job you've done, son. And possibly have a crown or two. Revelation talks about, not for me to put on my big head and try to prance around, but to give back to Jesus and say, here, Jesus, this is yours. I cast my crown at your feet. You enable me. This is for you. Let us, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And I will say tonight, yes, He is. If He has ever lit your fire, if you've ever been born again, it is impossible to walk away and not feel the burn in your heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we come with a song of invitation, we'll stand to our feet and give a verse of invitation in just a moment. Again, just a word from Numbers to Hebrews. Trying to capture a little bit of Caleb's spirit in Numbers, and trying to capture a little bit of the writer's spirit here in Hebrews, using the two together. Again, there's different places in the Bible where the words "let us" are used. But let us tonight, let us just move forward. Let us have a clear mind. Let us have a calm heart when we start our week this week, leaving all of our problems and cares at the feet of Jesus and just serve Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are. For what You do, Lord, we hope that the message was understood. Father, I pray that You'd apply it to the heart that needs it the most. We all need a touch tonight. But there may be someone here that doesn't know You personally. I pray tonight would be the night that they would reach out to a friend or family member. If they don't know anybody here, Lord, give us the wisdom and discernment to reach out to them. Be with a Christian as well during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're standing, if you need to come and pray, you can come and pray. The invitation time is yours. Anybody else tonight? You may want to come and just praise Him.